has labored, he has suffered to lead his people into the land of freedom. He is the Redeemer and the champion of liberty, of human equality. Let's salute him, fellow Ghanaians, the nation's founder, Sadiko Kwame Nkrumah. May God bless him, Ghana's showboy, Africa's great son, Sadiko Dr. Nkrumah.
At long last, the battle has ended. And thus, Ghana, your beloved country, is free forever. And here again, I want to take the opportunity to thank the chiefs and people of this country, the youth, the farmers, the women, who have so nobly fought and won this battle. Also, I want to thank the valiant ex-servicemen who have so cooperated with me in this mighty task of freeing our country from foreign rule and imperialism. And as I pointed out at our party conference at Sorbonne, I made it quite clear that from now on today, we must change our attitudes, our minds. We must realize that from now on, we are no more a colonial, but a free and independent people. But also, as I pointed out, that also entails hard work. I am depending upon the millions of the country, the chiefs and people, to help me to reshape the destiny of this country. We are prepared to build it up and make it a nation that will be respected by every other nation in the world. We know we are going to have difficult beginnings, but again, I'm relying upon your support. I'm relying upon your hard work. Seeing you in these thousands, it doesn't matter how far my eye goes, I can see that you are here in your millions. And my last warning to you is that you all should stand firm behind us so that we can prove to the world that when the African is given a chance, he can show to the world that he's somebody. We are but waiting. We shall no more go back to sleep anymore. Today, from now on, there is a new African in the world. That new African is ready to fight his own battle and show that, after all, the black man is capable of managing his own affairs. We are going to demonstrate to the world, to the other nations, young as we are, that we are prepared to lay our own foundation. As I said in the assembly just minutes ago, I made a point that we are going to see that we create our own African personality and identity. It's the only way in which we can show the world that we are ready for our own battle. But today, may I call upon you all that at this great day, let us all remember that nothing in the world can be done unless it has the purpose and support of God. We have done the battle, and we again rededicate ourselves not only in the struggle to emancipate other territories in Africa. Our independence is meaningless unless it is linked up with the total liberation of the African continent. Let us now, fellow Ghanaians, Let us now ask for God's blessing. And for only 2 seconds, in your thousands and millions, I want to ask you to pause only for 1 minute and give thanks to Almighty God for having led us through obstacles, difficulties, imprisonments, hardship and suffering to have brought us to the end of our trouble today. Ghana is free forever. And here, I will ask the band to play the Ghana National Anthem. Freedom! Freedom! Freedom!
This is Colorful Radio,
bringing you closer to loved ones with MoneyGram.
Good afternoon. This is the day that we've all been waiting for, and at long last, it's well due in perfect place. Welcome to Colorful Radio's unique celebration of Independence Day, Ghana at 60, presented by MoneyGram in front of a specially invited studio audience, live from the African Center and broadcasting across London, Birmingham, Manchester, and beyond. My name is Clark Pintua, a proud Ghanaian from the region of Ashanti and, of course, from Cape Coast.
And hello and good afternoon. My name is Claire Clottie, just as proud a Ghanaian as Clark is. I'm from the greater region of Accra, well, my dad is anyway, and my mum is from the Volta region, so we are repping Ghana all the way through here.
Surely.
Today is indeed a very, very special day. I'm so excited to be part of it, Clark. We are celebrating Ghana at 60. Colourful Radio has had me here with you, Clark. This is going to be a great day.
Wonderful and amazing.
A unique celebration of independence, Ghana at 60, presented by MoneyGram, as Clark did say, in front of a specially invited studio audience. We are in London. This is where I was born and raised, Clark. Where were you born and raised?
I wasn't that lucky. I was born somewhere in Ashanti region.
So you were luckier. You weren't that lucky, but you were luckier.
I couldn't see pounds.
You couldn't see pounds?
I saw cities.
Who needs pounds when you got cities? You know, when you got stacks of cash in your hand, it just makes you feel like you're rich.
Of late, it's dwindling economically.
Okay, let's not go there because this is going to be a very positive day. We've got an amazing lineup for you. As we said, we are here broadcasting live in London. However, we are reaching Birmingham, we are reaching Manchester and even beyond. If you want to listen and tell your friends to listen in, make sure you visit www.colorfulradio.com. We are going to be here for a few hours entertaining you in exceptional style.
Yeah, from now till 5 p.m.
Okay, so what have we got lined up for you today? It's a special twofold show. Firstly, we're going to be looking at how far Ghana has come politically, economically, and socially since independence. And secondly, where are the young Ghanaians who will take Ghana forward over the next 60 years?
That's a serious topic.
It's a serious deal. It's a serious day and a cause for celebration, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, let's stick it up.
At long last, the battle has ended, and thus Ghana, your beloved country, is free forever.
Celebrating Independence Day, Ghana's 60th independence anniversary, in front of a live studio audience sponsored by MoneyGram.
My name is Frank Elinam Kobna, popularly known as Atumpande Talking Drum. I'm a recording artist, teacher, and entrepreneur. Ghana at 60 means a lot to me, first because it's been a good 60 years since we had our independence from Britain. Secondly, because it's a time of merrymaking, a time where all Ghanaians all over the world come together to celebrate and enjoy our rich cultural heritage. Our food, our clothing, our dances, our festivals, and all the others that make us proud as Ghanaians. This same period of the year always makes me think whether or not we have been able to achieve a lot as Ghanaians after independence. Has the blood and toil of our forefathers been in vain, or have we profited from it as a country? Has the dreams of Kwame Nkrumah, Dr. Obechebi Lamte, and all the others been realized? Have we fulfilled their wish? Would Dr. Kwame Nkrumah look down on us and smile and say, "Bravo, Ghana has truly become the beacon of Africa and the gateway to Africa"? Have we proven that the black man is capable of handling his own affairs without interference from international bodies? Have we been able to uproot corruption from the system? Are we a united country, devoid of tribalism and nepotism? Do we support our own? Do we raise our children and instill in them traditional values and morals, so that anywhere they find themselves, they can be proud of their identity? Are we making good use of all the natural resources the country is endowed with? And if we are, is it being accounted for? Is the ordinary citizen benefiting from these resources? All these are questions that need to be answered. And these are thoughts that need to be pondered on. Onyankopon shra Ghana. May God continue to bless Ghana. Yenananuma ebio.
Colorful Radio.
Hi, you are indeed listening to Colorful Radio. We are broadcasting live from the Africa Center today. My name is Claire Clotty, and I'm here today with
Clark Pentua.
Hello, Clark. How are you feeling today?
Not too bad. You're looking very beautiful.
Ah, thank you very much. So are you looking stunning in your Kente colors?
Thank you.
To be precise, we are celebrating the 60th independence of Ghana today, but it was in fact on the 6th of March 1957 that Ghana did indeed become independent.
Surely.
Our celebrations began today, though, here on Colourful Radio, starting at 12 p.m. If you've been listening, you would have heard Mark DeForest, who presented 1 hour of All Abroad Africa, Hot 9 Chart Ghana Special, featuring Fuse ODG, MC Skibbidi Deneo, Nadia Rose, Sways, Dizzy Rascal, Stormzy, and so many more exceptional Ghanaian talent. Listen,
yes.
Ghana rules, you know.
Surely.
Are we taking over?
We've taken over.
Oh, I like that, Clark.
Left, right,
like
and centre.
Hot 9 Ghana Special also brought to you exclusive conversation with British Ghanaian politician and former cabinet minister, Mr. Paul Yao Boateng, and a live recorded performance by talented Ghanaian Maxwell Ansah. As most of you know him, Lethal Bizzle. There we are.
Oh, that's his name.
That is his name.
Okay.
Maxwell. We like that name,
don't
we,
Ghanaians?
Well, there's a lot of things that I don't know, and I know that we are going to be informing, entertaining, and inspiring the listeners today. What have we got coming up, Clark?
Very true. I do believe that we're not only here to bask in the glory of our forefathers, but also we're here to interact, connect, reflect, socialize, and of course, experience the joy of being a Ghanaian. And even if you're not a Ghanaian, I believe this is the right place and the most perfect opportunity for you to explore, tap, and expand the Ghanaian affiliations we have at our disposal, be it medicine, science, education, agriculture, whatever. The choice is all yours at your disposal for the taking. Ghana at 60, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
There was Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, General Joseph Ankrah. Have you heard of them?
Of course, I've heard of them. But don't ask me when they came into power or anything like that. I beg you, please.
Why?
Because, do you know what? My knowledge is quite limited.
So who do we ask?
Well, my dad always says, you must listen to your teacher very well. And we've got a teacher in the house today, haven't we?
Oh, Teacher Addo.
Teacher Addo.
Oh, you know him?
I know him.
He knows a lot. Do you know that?
I've heard he knows a lot. We're about to find out how much he knows, though.
We will soon find out.
Should we test him?
He's got a lot to tell us.
I've got my pen and my paper ready.
I think he's on Twitter.
Is he on Twitter?
Yeah, on Facebook too.
A teacher is on Twitter.
Yes.
Imagine
teacher
that.
On Twitter.
We are indeed on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Make sure you stay interactive with us at Colourful Radio. Use the hashtag Ghana60 because that's exactly what we're celebrating today. We have a lot coming up over the course of the next few hours. We're going to meet some of Ghana's diaspora, friends of Ghana, alongside some great classical Ghanaian music that's going to entertain you throughout the show.
Which one is your favourite?
Oh, geez. I like the old school High Life, you know.
Yeah, from who? Papa Yangtze?
Blayambele, you know. Oh,
Judy,
yeah.
Blayambele.
Uh-huh. Bago, yeah, and all the rest of those classic High Life tunes.
We're going to have some fun.
We are indeed. Listen, Clark, though, I've noticed that there's no supermarket, there's no chichinga, there's no star beer. Haven't really welcomed me the way I want to be welcomed.
Yeah, we've got more stuff coming.
Okay, fantastic.
We've got jollof rice. We've got akpala.
Hey,
you know akpala?
I know akpala. Okay. I know Glingji as well.
Okay, akpala?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Do you know yevubolu?
No, I don't. What's
okay,
that?
Okay, that's white people's bread.
Okay.
That's bread.
Sugar bread.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
yevubolu.
Fine. Wow, you said that really, really well. I'm going to have to practice my tonation. But as I said, we have got lots more coming up. We've got an Azonto special alongside our All Abroad Africa exclusive conversation with British Ghanaian politician and former cabinet minister, Mr. Paul Yao Boateng.
At long last, the battle has ended. And thus, Ghana, your beloved country, is free forever.
Celebrating Independence Day, Ghana's 60th Independence Anniversary, in front of a live studio audience sponsored by MoneyGram.
Mark the Force with you for this Ghana 60th Independence Anniversary special. Now, we're going to switch up the style a little and get a bit political on you. We're going to hear from one of the most illustrious Ghanaians to have ever held a post in not only the British Parliament, but indeed the government as well. It's, of course, none other than the Right Honourable Paul Boateng. Now, I sat down and spoke with him about Ghana's history since it gained independence, as well as talking about the legacy of the late, great Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, the first president of the Republic. So do check it out. Do enjoy right here on the All Abroad Hot 9.
Your passport to Africa worldwide. All Abroad. All Abroad. All Abroad.
My name is Paul Boateng. I'm an activist, a lawyer, a former Member of Parliament for Brent South and a former Cabinet Minister, Chief Secretary to the Treasury, and formerly British High Commissioner to South Africa.
So how was life for you growing up in Ghana amidst the changes that were starting to occur in the country?
I've got vivid memories of my life in Ghana. I was brought up in Ghana up until the ages of 15, and you had this sense that you were part of the birth of a nation, that you were privileged to have a ringside seat to some of the great events of that era, the formation of the Organization of African Unity, the struggle for independence itself. My father used to come home with bullet holes in the car. You knew that he was engaged in serious business on behalf of the Convention People's Party forming a new nation in the teeth of sometimes bloody opposition. That was the reality, that you were part of events, but also the joy of listening to people like Louis Armstrong, Josephine Baker, Miriam Makeba, who just came to the continent, who came to Ghana to celebrate the birth of something new. And then also to see the foresight of Kwame Nkrumah in building the great dam at Akasombo, because you've got to remember that there were people who said that it wasn't possible for Africa to have great infrastructure projects. Well, actually, it is. And in fact, Nkrumah was right to insist on those infrastructure projects, because without them, the continent is hamstrung. And the sad thing is, I fear, that since his passing and the passing of that era, only now are new roads, new railways, new great infrastructure projects being created in Africa again. And we shouldn't have forgotten what he and other great leaders of the time taught us. So sure, there were things that went wrong. Sure, there were mistakes that were made. But there was this great sense of hope, optimism, and delivery on the dream.
And in your opinion, just how important was Dr. Kwame Nkrumah's work, not only to Ghana, but to Africa as well?
You know, there's a reason why when you conduct surveys in Africa of who the greatest African of our times was, the answer comes out, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, even though he died more than 30 years ago. Now, the reason for that is that this was a man who not only fought the colonialists and won, but this was a man too who had a vision of what Ghana and Africa might be. I mean, I remember him standing in the old polo ground, surrounded by his ministers, and saying, "The independence of Ghana is meaningless unless it is linked with the total liberation of Africa." And that was at a time when the apartheid regime had its heel on the necks of the people of South Africa. That was a time in which the bulk of the continent remained under colonial domination. Now, we can reflect on just how visionary he was, and in his recognition that you needed a peacekeeping force under the control of Africans, not under the control of any other foreign power or agency, that you needed regional economic integration. On all those things, he was right and has been proved to be right.
What do you think Dr. Kwame Nkrumah's views would be on Ghana today, as well as the continent in general?
I think on Ghana, he would have a sense of achievement, a sense that Ghana, which has been through some difficult times, has come through them and is now strong and united, has come through a successful, free and fair election, but one that was hard fought and which had a narrow outcome. He would take pride, I think, in the maturity of the Ghanaian peoples and the longevity and maturity of their institutions. But he would also have a sense, you know, of unfinished business. There's still a lot we need to do in Africa. We need to overcome the failures around governance, the failures around corruption. We need also to recognize that the greatest resource of Africa is its peoples. And they deserve better, frankly. They deserve better of the wider world and its trading systems. They deserve better sometimes of their own leadership. And also, and importantly, they have a potential that needs to be developed. And that potential will only be realized through education. Education and skills and capacity are the key to the success of the continent. We learned that, and Nkrumah learned that, at the feet of Dr. Agrey of Africa, that great man of the early part of the 20th century, who said, of course, only the best is good enough for Africa. That's true. And Dr. Kwame Nkrumah was one of the best.
Your passport to Africa worldwide. All abroad.
At long last, the battle has ended. And thus, Ghana, your beloved country, is free forever.
Celebrating Independence Day, Ghana's 60th independence anniversary, in front of a live studio audience sponsored by MoneyGram.
We'll also be looking to Young Africa Centre about their Ghana Black Stars event, and also taking place right now next door is where they are. We're going to have to drag them inside here.
Yeah, why not?
And of course, at 4 p.m. we will be discussing our second theme of today. I did tell you that this was a two-part themed show. Yes, it's all about celebration, but we're looking at how far Ghana has come politically, economically, and socially since independence. But we're also looking at the young Ghanaians. We're looking at how far they're going to take Ghana in the next 60 years. I'm
yes.
glad to be part of that. Are you?
Yes, yes, yes.
Are you
yes.
young?
I'm both. You really have not heard or seen nothing yet. This is just the fundamental of bigger things to happen. You're just about to witness the thrills and spills of colorful radio oozing out with a groundbreaking creativity in an elegant style today.
Clark, you said that with such conviction. I love that.
Because I'm a Ghanaian.
Uh-huh. That's what we're talking about today. But coming up this hour, we will explore our first theme. How far has Ghana come politically, economically, and socially since independence? We don't know enough, but we know a man who does.
Definitely.
Colorful.
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 Colorful. Colorful radio.
Colorful. Right, that was a beautiful song there by A.B. Krinto, enumerating the natural resources that we've got in Ghana. We've got gold, diamond, timber, everything. That's what the man is saying, but we're still sort of something else.
Behave yourself, Clark. Today we are celebrating Ghana at 60. Make sure you follow us at Colourful Radio on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Get involved in the conversation today. We are broadcasting live from London. However, we are on the DAB in Manchester and Birmingham and, of course, beyond www.colourfulradio.com. Exciting days today, days of celebration. We've had some great music already, but we're more than just great music and natural resources, aren't we?
Yeah.
Clark, how much do you know about Ghana?
Not much. At least I know about the Big Six, and that's it. I don't know much about them, so we're going to have to ask somebody.
Well, I believe we have a teacher in the house, Teacher Addo, who has joined us here live to give us that information that we need so that we can stand strong and have a confident conversation about our Ghanaian history.
Definitely.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Teacher Addo. How you doing?
Oh, good afternoon. I'm all right. I'm fit as fiddle.
Fit as a fiddle. I love that. Is it because you had your kenke this morning?
Unfortunately, I didn't know what I was coming to do, so I told my wife to put the kenke aside. After I have done my bit, then I'll eat kenke and chinam.
I'm glad you've reserved some space in your stomach for your food this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Now, give us some food for thought. Please tell us what we need to know, us, the Ghanaian diaspora. What do we need to know about Ghana at 60 years?
Oh, Ghana at 60 years. You have a lot to learn and listen. And then come along with me. Because normally, when people want to know something about Ghana, they always go straight to the middle. They don't want to start from the beginning because I think it's just like having education. You don't start being a professor until you've gone through the mill to get to professorship. So if you wouldn't mind, can I give you a very quick chronological history, and then we'll come to Ghana at 60, if you wouldn't mind.
I am so ready for it. I know the listeners are too. Let's go.
Yeah, just a minute. Now, most often we hear about Europeans who have come to Ghana before, and most of them we hear are the British and then the Portuguese. And people say that it was the Portuguese who came to Ghana first. It is not true. If you don't mind, I'll go from A to Z. Now, the first Europeans who came to Ghana were the French. They were there from 1383 to 1413. They spent 30 good years. And in brief, they only went there or came there to trade. They didn't come to do anything. It's trading just to exchange goods. And that was the butter time of trading. No language, because none of them understood French, nor French also understood us. And so they went. Then came the Portuguese, who came there on the 19th of January, 1482. To 1642, they were there for 160 years. And they actually left a lot of culture for us, education-wise, and even languages. You know, some vocabulary we have now in Ghana, like breku, preti, kamisa, and other things, were all Portuguese language we had. Then followed by the Dutch, who came 1598, and then left 1872. They were there for 274 years. Okay. Then the English came, 1631 to 6 March 1957. They were there for 326 years. And now let me say a little bit about the English involvement in Britain and Ghana. They were there just like any other Europeans. They all always came or went to Ghana to trade, because Ghana was a very fertile land and we had some very good minerals, which actually the whole world envies now, up to now. And so we heard that we became colonized by the British. We weren't colonized because they beat us at war. They used a method that allowed itself to come out with joining them. And it happened that in the bond of 1844, which many people know about it, think the bond just came overnight. It didn't come. They were there for 213 years without any bond, without any force, without anything. They were doing the thing, and they wanted to have the opportunity to let that opportunity give them the chance of colonizing us, and it did come. I'll come to that later on. And then after the English, the switch came there 1640 to 1657, and they were there for 17 years. Then came the Danes, that was 1642 to 1850. They were there for 280 years. And then the last one were the Germans, who were there for only 1682 to 1708, 26 years. So you can see that we've had seven groups of different Europeans coming for one particular thing, trade, and to, I wouldn't say they came to corrupt us, but they came to do something. And so totally, if you add all these simple individual days, we've got about 1,041 years. And if you find the average, that will give us 148 point something years, if you allocate them that way. And so it wasn't that these years were finished before other Europeans came. They were there concurrently, side by side. See, they were doing individual things, and we're also doing our own things, because they found it very difficult for them to conquer us, and they find it very convenient also for them to use the situation and the setup there to do whatever they wanted to do, because they were waiting for the opportunity. Now, the opportunity came. It came because our forefathers had then left our former kingdom at Timbuktu, which was Kumbu. You see, we had Ghana Empire from 705 century to 1076 years. We were ruling and then conquering and then ordering people around until it came to a point when our vassal states, which were mostly the Muslims, who we conquered and other things, but the mistakes our forefathers made was, when they were conquered, they gave them freedom to do anything they wanted. And all at the end of the year, they have to come to pay the due, which is the taxes and all that. And they had to do whatever they wanted. But it was not enough for those people. They wanted to do something. So they went and then congregated and became a very forceful people and attacked us. The first Muslim organization attacked Ghana was Sungha Empire, Soninke, see? And then we paid them. And after that, they didn't go away. They didn't go away because they still found a place very fertile and very ridiculous for other things. So what happened was that they came back as a group, and that was Mali Empire, and then defeated us. I won't tell you much because it will take us to next year.
Teacher Addo, wow. When you said you were going to go back to the beginning, I thought you meant back 60 years. I didn't realize we were going back to 1383 and even beyond.
This is history. All we know is Ghana, 1957. This is more than 1957.
It's all good. We've still got Teacher Addo, who's going to stay with us for a little while, give us a bit more information, a bit more history, and pull us up to the year 2017.
Yeah. But before that, more music.
At long last, the battle has ended. And thus, Ghana, your beloved country, is free forever.
Celebrating Independence Day, Ghana's 60th independence anniversary, in front of a live studio audience sponsored by MoneyGram.
Yes, with the highest definition of excitement and delight, I welcome you back to Colorful Radio. We are back with Teacher Addo.
Yes, as I said, I want to take you quickly through how our forefathers came to have independence on the 1957. The reason why it came about was that when we all gathered at Ghana as separate states, every state started trying to find the ways and means to make his or her people very comfortable. And the Shantis were the first to do that and they formed a Shanti Confederation. It came about because the coastal tribes, like the Keta and Pau and the Shanti people, would not allow them to get direct access to these Portuguese. So they wanted to do, and the people down there would also like to have the monopoly of the trade so that they can take more money from the Shanti. The Shanti said, no, in that case, we are going to fight you. That was when they started with tribal wars to get access to it. And so confidence. Now, the Fantis actually were, they suffered a lot because the white people were more in contact with the Fantis. And so they saw that they couldn't actually stand the onslaught of a Shanti aggression. So they sought for help from the then European people. And that was the time this Fanti Confederacy also stood up. And then they had the backing of the British, who said, if you want us to help you, we shall help you, but then you're going to tow our way, because we have a queen who would like to help you through us. And that was when they sat down and formed a kind of gentleman agreement. And that was when the bond of 1844 came, just for 100 years, so that they would establish the coastal people. So when, then the Fantis had the opportunity of working under that system, and later on found that it was not going the way. They were not getting the benefits to help the people. So in that case, they would form a confederation to demand. And so in 1868, the Fanti Confederation came into being, and they actually had a complete national assembly with a president and the two heads of the states, that Anomabo and Mankesim, what's called paramount chiefs, became the head, and then they had secretary and all that. That came about in 1873. And then after that, from that time, we've had educated people who actually have studied. They have studied to some level in law and other things, like John Mensah and other things. So they formed Aborigines' Right Protection Society, which was 1897 to 1930, so 30 years. And so they did. They were the people who stood against laws which were not suitable for British and Ghanaians, for especially the land tenure system and parliament and all those things. And from that, the youth came together. The youth were not talking about the Shanti youth alone or Okapun youth alone or Evelus. All youths over the country came together. Now, look. Now it's going to be 100 years since we were forced to be under the British. And so if you don't take care to have it changed, and then the 100 years passes, the British will come with other things. And that happened in 1938. And then from that, those who went through all the Fanti and the Shanti and other confederation also formed UGCC. Before UGCC came, Legislative Council came. But that time was when our educated and some chiefs also became part of administration of the country. They have Legislative Council. Some were taken away from government departments and other things, and the chiefs were selected, and few Dankwa and other people became selected representatives of the chiefs and all that. Then 1947, that's 7th April 1947, was when Power Grant saw to it that no, all those associations didn't yield us anything. Therefore, we must find a way of standing against the British rule. And the British would like to see organized political party. And so on the 4th of August, 1947, that party was inaugurated, called UGCC, United Gogo Convention. And that was when they selected they met the then governor and demanded independence. And they said, well, we'll give you independence provided you allow us to have 10 years to make you one country, because as it is, you are separate states which haven't got an identity as a country. And so if you allow us to do that, then you will find yourself, when you say a Ghanaian, there will be something to depict you from other people that are a Ghanaian. And then when it was written to them, written that way, well, this is what your governor is telling us, but how can we be sure that we won't turn around to me? Then it was written that 10 years, if you allow us, we'll do it. And the 10 years didn't come up. When Nkrumah came to the scene, that was 20th December 1947. And because Nkrumah or the others, Power Grant, many other people, Gigi hasn't come, Obechebe Lamte and other people were all self-made men, and they couldn't stop following their own professions. They needed a younger person to be the secretary, to keep all the information and other things. Nakwenje was then the youngest person who had then returned to Ghana after his studies, qualified as a lawyer. They gave him the opportunity. They said, no, I can't do it. You know that I just came. I have to establish myself. But I have a friend who is into those areas. He has got Jomo Kenyatta, Nyerere, and other things, the former African personality. And so he would be the appropriate person for him to come. And it was there that Power Grant gave money to Dankwa, and they came from Nkrumah. And Nkrumah came to Ghana 1947, 20th December. And then they gave everything to him. Nkrumah, this is what we've done. But we need time to educate our people, because independent doesn't mean you cross your leg and everything comes from heaven. You must understand. You must know your responsibility. So let's go around and tell the people what Nkrumah said. No. We're self-government now. If you have heard that word, SG now, self-government now. And then it became an agitated period when Nkrumah decided to go away and form his own party. And on the 12th of June 1949, Nkrumah broke away and formed his party. Then, after that, because we need the constitution to harness us towards an independent, Dankwa and other people were selected to sit down to have a constitution. You can't have independence or a nation when you have got a constitution. So three people were actually selected to sit down and then prepare a constitution for that. In the end, it fell on Dankwa, who took one night and wrote the constitution, and that constitution ushered us towards independence. So, in a nutshell, Nkrumah came only when everything had been done.
Political. Thank you very much, Teacher Addo. Wow, Clark, are you overwhelmed with information?
Yes, what a wonderful chronological summation of Ghanaian history. You deserve a very big pat on your shoulders and more grease to your elbows, Teacher Addo.
That's the surface. We just scratched the information.
Yeah.
We shall go into it in future.
Yeah.
One by one to know everybody's position. Thank you so much.
This is Colorful Radio.
Send money to Ghana with MoneyGram and give your receiver a chance to win with MoneyGram. To find out more, go to moneygram.com.gh.
At long last, the battle has ended. And thus, Ghana, your beloved country, is free forever.
Celebrating Independence Day, Ghana's 60th independence anniversary, in front of a live studio audience sponsored by MoneyGram.
Indeed, we are live down here at Colourful Radio, www.colourfulradio.com. For those wanting to listen online, we're on the DAB, broadcasting to Manchester, Birmingham, live from London. My name is Claire Clotty. We are celebrating Ghana at 60, Ghana's Independence Day, a very special live broadcast brought to you by MoneyGram. I'm so excited. There's so many amazing Ghanaians in the house, but I've also got to speak to some young Ghanaians because I like to think that I'm still young. I'm holding on. How you doing, Chris?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
You're ready for me?
Yeah.
You seem a little bit nervous.
Oh, I'm cool. I'm good.
Are you excited about Ghana being 60?
Always excited.
Chale, what do you know about Ghana being 60? You look like you're 16, man.
I'm 22, actually.
You're 22? So, yeah. Wow. So you are really the definition of the young Ghanaian diaspora.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does it mean to you to be Ghanaian?
I think for me, it's a proud heritage. So I'm really proud to be Ghanaian. I'm very bold about it. So like everywhere I go, I'm always like, yeah, Ghana, 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 everywhere. From dancing to everything. So, but I suppose now being a bit older, I kind of see Ghana in a more different, in a different way. So I look at kind of like the challenges that the country is facing in terms of the infrastructure, etc., and ways in which I suppose British-born Ghanaians can kind of go back and influence Ghana in a positive way.
Your generation is just ever so slightly, you know, after my generation, but it's really exciting to see, you know, a 22-year-old man speaking so confidently about Ghana. But talk to me, what was Ghana like in your household in London?
Oh, in London?
Yes.
So I'm from Newham, so like Manor Park. And so there was like a still prominent Ghanaian heritage, like there was like lots of Ghanaians there. And so, you know, you go down the road and then there's a Ghanaian there. You go down the road, there's another Ghanaian there. And it's like, hello, auntie. Everyone's your auntie. You know what I mean?
Everyone's your auntie. Did that make you happy? Did that irritate you?
No, I love it. You know what I mean? Everywhere it's like, hey, auntie, it's saying, you know what I mean? I like that sort of stuff. And for me, the way I see kind of the Ghana in the UK and how I've grown up is that we're a big community. We're a big family. Everyone kind of tends to help everyone else and support each other. So sometimes everyone's in your business like, hey, you know what I mean? It's like a bit like, wow.
Overwhelming sometimes.
Not really overwhelming. I've grown up with it, but I suppose it's just like a bit inner.
Okay, yeah. So let's think about this because I don't know about your experience per se, but my experience of being a Ghanaian, it wasn't cool when I was at school. It just wasn't.
Yeah, I think for me, just because of how I am, like I'm a proud guy. Like you can say, oh yeah, you're from, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm from Ghana. Ghana's better. You know what I mean? not as in,
right.
I went to a school called St. Bond's in East London, and there was always that thing with Nigerians and Ghanaians, and you know, the battle of the jollof rice, and obviously,
let's not go there today.
let's not even talk about that, but obviously, as I said, like everywhere I go, I've been proud of that. Proud of my surname, Achampong. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, sometimes I even say where I work now, it's like, oh, Chris, how do you pronounce your surname or whatever? You know, you always try and educate and teach. Oh, where's that from? Okay, blah, blah, blah. And as I said, I'm very proud of my heritage. And kind of, but now as I see it, as I'm slightly older, I kind of look at Ghana in a different light.
So would you ever go back to Ghana?
Absolutely.
And live there?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've been looking at various programs within work as well. So I work for IBM, which is a software-defined services company. And, you know, they've got branches in Accra, Ghana, the various, South Africa, everywhere in Africa. And there's some schemes that I could get on that support kind of growth in Ghana and etc. And so yeah, I've always been looking at opportunities out in Africa, especially in Ghana. But I think for me, it's more kind of honing down my skill set and really kind of looking at what I can actually bring to Ghana in that light. So I don't want to just go there. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm not adding any value. I want to kind of go there and help, you know, see where I can kind of add value and help and bring my skill set. I mean, I was reading an article the other day and there was this investment banker who used to work in London, lived a very, very good life, etc. But went back to Ghana. He just didn't get that quality of life in London, but went back to Ghana and set up his own investment management firm, set that up and now employs 600 people in Ghana. And I thought that was an amazing story. You know, that's something that I would like to kind of aspire to, or something, you know, somewhere around how I can bring some value back to Ghana.
The future is bright. The future is Ghana.
Absolutely.
So sharing your experiences of Ghana with your peers, and I'm talking about your non-Ghanaian peers, because we have plenty of friends of Ghana, plenty of them. What do your friends think of Ghana?
You know what? So what do you mean by that? Like, elaborate.
Okay, so I know you've had some Nigerian jollof rice because you've got friends from Nigeria. Yeah. I'm sure you've got British friends, you know, English friends. You've got Asian friends. Yeah. And everyone is indeed talking about Ghana. Like,
absolutely.
What do you share with them? And what is their response and their reaction to you being Ghanaian and, you know, what you can offer them?
Like, what I would like to say is that Ghana is certainly on the map. Like, it's definitely on the lips of people, and like, people are talking about Ghana in a really, really positive light. It's not like, oh, okay, Ghana's a very poor country or da 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 or whatever, you know. It's moved on from that. And so when I speak to my colleagues and my British colleagues and Asian colleagues, as you mentioned, it's that they've heard of Ghana, whereas say 10 years ago it's like, oh, where's that, you know? They've heard of, they may have heard of Nigeria or whatever, but not necessarily Ghana. But in terms of the whole kind of the political climate, the economical climate, in terms of, you know, what's that doing? You know, there's a big presence. And I certainly see, especially working in the finance and technology sector, that a lot of companies are looking at Africa, looking at Ghana as kind of emerging growth markets and looking to invest there. So it's definitely on people's lips and people are talking about it.
It's an exciting time to be a young Ghanaian. It's also an exciting time to be a friend of Ghanaians. Make sure you be a friend of Colourful Radio, though, and we can connect you to some of your Ghanaian peers. Hashtag Ghana60. Use that on social media for us. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Colourful Radio. My name's Claire Clotty. Just been speaking to young Chris. I can't even call you young Chris. You're the future Chris.
Future Chris. Yeah.
I like that. You're listening to Colourful Radio. Got some great music. We've got some great conversations coming up shortly. We've got so much in store for you. Make sure you stay exactly where you are.
At long last, the battle has ended. And thus, Ghana, your beloved country, is free forever.
Yeah. Celebrating Independence Day, Ghana's 60th Independence Anniversary in front of a live studio audience and sponsored by MoneyGram.
Yeah, right. This is what exactly we're talking about. This is the time. The first performance is about to hit the floor. Right? He goes by the name Kehai Bange. He's been able to break the rule of law by establishing himself as a producer, singer, songwriter. And what else?
Plenty things, anything.
Plenty. All right. The floor is yours.
Ah. Yeah. Matosika koko kawa fefefe bi Nidime shon Mawa unsemedo Matosika mpeti ya kawa fefefe bi Makumemu Nidime shon Mawa unsemedo Mebeye wa ifro Meshe we ni unyamo Mebeye wa ifro Meshe we ni unyamo. Me ma wona asan so ma weja somo na mo na mbako so ama mi oba oba ho fefo asan so wa butre nim de pa o ye die hiansa na die fata mi ano fata ofum pena wapata aketesia umpia deja wakata ni ho asie. A day, me ma weni mwasio debi. Oh no. Matosi kako koko kwa fefefe bi. Adoyi wu me debe show amawa huse me do. Matosi kampeti kwa fefefe bi. Makumemu me debe show amawa huse me do. Bebe ye wa ifro Meshe we ni unyamo. Bebe ye wa ifro Meshe we ni unyamo. A happy you say I do. On the first day I met you, I tell you so I could marry you. Mr. Talk and do I be easy, say what I talk I did do.
It's been a blessing.
Listen, I'm on many things.
Times are depressing, but
you see,
with many things, if you do, make a conquer the world.
Make like you no worry, you there for my corner. That be my baby, baby, where you from? Oh, I share when you yam. Oh, maybe you are fro. Oh, oh, I share when you yam. Oh, Matosika, I do you who made a show. Mawa who sent me though. Matosika, Thank you. Worldwide Music Classic Live Bang It.
May you are you fro. That means I'll marry you.
Yeah, I will marry
I'll,
you.
I'll honor you.
Yeah.
All right. More music after that. We're going to have something wonderful coming with Claire Clotte.
At long last, battle has ended. And thus, Ghana, your beloved country, is free forever.
Celebrating Independence Day, Ghana's 60th independence anniversary in front of a live studio audience and sponsored by MoneyGram.
At long last, battle has ended. And thus, Ghana, your beloved country, is free forever.
Celebrating Independence Day, Ghana's 60th independence anniversary, in front of a live studio audience sponsored by MoneyGram.
Right, history, tradition, culture, heritage at its best. Transferring generation from generation to generation was what teacher Ado was telling us. And that was very, very interesting. That simply means sometimes we do leave out our young ones. But today, we've learned that we're not going to do that. That's why we have here with us Evelyn from the Young African Center, who's going to be telling us all about how to be young African. Isn't that it?
Yes, yes, we are. Just a little bit about the Young Africa Center. It's newly started. We want to be the voice of the Africa Center and the great long history. And we want to continue that and continue a movement of entrepreneurship for young people.
So that means something prompted you to involve yourself with that movement, as you said. So tell us a bit more about the history before then.
So I didn't know about the Africa Center until quite recently. So a couple of years ago when it was the summer festival, that was my first introduction to the center, and I thought it was a wonderful event. And I graduated last year, and as I was looking for work, I got in contact with some of the staff here and was talking about my passion for entrepreneurship and the development of the continent and people in the diaspora. And that's how I began my relationship with the Africa Center. And through conversation, was given the opportunity to start the Young Africa Center and see how young people can give their voice to the activities going on here.
So how many people have you got so far?
So currently there are 4 founding members. Myself, Afosa, Adele and Tameyan. We're from West African origin. But we definitely want to open up to other parts of the continent, East and Southern Africa, as well as the Caribbean and Afro-Latino countries as well. We really want to encapsulate and depict what the African looks like around the world. I mean, the young Afropolitan, that's who we are. That's one of the personas we represent. And we want to show the diversity of the continent.
So do you represent that fully?
Well, myself, no. I mean, I'm a woman, young, I'm from Nigerian and Ghanaian heritage.
Okay.
But Ghanaian independence, one of the first black African country to gain independence and lead the way, we want to bring everyone along with us and so that other people have the chance to tell their own stories.
That's very beautiful. What else would you like us to know? Because I'm not young, so I'm not in the Young African Center. I mean, the Old African Center. That's us. So tell us more about the Young African Center. Suppose, say, I'm 13. Can I join you? 13?
So from the Young Africa Center is for people aged between 14 and 25.
Okay. So you've been, you're segmenting others from coming, the old guys. You don't want us to join you then?
No, that's not the case at all. No,
that's discrimination there. Unless it's positive discrimination. Yeah,
it's positive discrimination in the sense that we want to provide a program and opportunities that focus on young people where traditional education may have failed to provide. For example, history about pre-colonial Africa, we would hope to step in and provide that for young people so they know where they're coming from and they could bridge the gap between our history and now. And we are definitely open to learning from older people, and we definitely want the support of the older generation to provide those opportunities, whether it be in history, in animation, showing where there are different paths that young people can take where they may not have seen themselves in. We really welcome that support.
So are there any platform or situations where you get the chance to meet the elderly or, you know, the grown-ups in order to have a conversation with them? Because you are the Young African Center, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a platform or, say, dates with the grown-ups, the grown generations?
Yes, so we usually have meetings with the wider Africa Center, so to ensure that that communication is occurring. So we have weekly meetings, we speak with the interim director here, and these are the very beginning stages, and we're still looking for better ways to communicate that.
It looks as if you are the president of the Young African Center.
Well, not the president, so to say. I mean,
the vice.
I was the first founding member.
Wow.
Of the Young Africa Center.
Wow.
But I really want to iterate that the Young Africa Center is not a matter of hierarchy. Everyone can be a leader in the Young Africa Center. We want it to be a place where we encourage leadership from everyone. All young people can take the initiative to work on projects by themselves and encourage them to figure out how to find those opportunities.
So what's your normal routine like? I've got a cousin who is very lazy. Can she join?
Well, she can join. Yeah. But what we do at the Young Africa Center is help train people and give them an example of what it means to be young and active. Because a lot of the criticisms young people get is that we are entitled, that we want everything given to us.
Yeah.
But evidently, I'm here, you know, and we are doing something.
So you're a typical example.
Yeah, we want to be that example to other young people that it's possible to do what you want. But you have to be persistent. You have to put in that hard graft. Nobody is necessarily going to give it to us. But if people see the passion that we have and see that we're making movements, then that's the snowball effect. People will come along.
That's very beautiful. Excellent. Give me three reasons why I should join you. Not me as a person, but that cousin of mine.
That cousin of yours. Well, this Young Africa Center is a marketplace of opportunity. It's a place where you can learn to work out that hard graft and learn the true lessons of what it means to like start up a business, for example. And that can only happen through real life experience. And thirdly, it's going to be a place of like fun and entertainment and where you can truly be proud of the work that you do.
Talking about entertainment, what sort of entertainment do you have there?
Well, today we have a day of Black Stars celebrating Ghanaian independence. And this evening we have Henry Stone, a poet, who speaks about the issues of young men in London. We have Miss Yankee, who talks of the pride she has of the independence of Ghana and her heritage. We have a musician, Joshua Keogh, is coming this evening. And Benjamin Bennett, the founder of Vocals and Verses. And this is a first taste of the entertainment that the Young Africa Center can provide for everyone. And it's surely going to be a good night.
Wow, that's the wow factor. Is there anything else you would like us to know?
please follow us on social media. On Twitter, it's at YG_Africa Center. On Instagram, at YG_Africa Center. And stay tuned on the Facebook page for all updates on our activities.
It's been nice having you on board.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
More music.
At long last, the battle has ended. And thus, Ghana, your beloved country, is free forever.
Celebrating Independence Day, Ghana's 60th independence anniversary, in front of a live studio audience sponsored by MoneyGram.
Colorful radio.
Colourful Radio, yes indeed, celebrating Ghana at 60 years of independence. Now, you haven't heard my voice in a while because I've been in the back, yes it is Claire Clotty, I've been in the back chomping on some jollof rice and kiliwili, and oh my gosh, I even had some of those plantain chips that we were talking about earlier on. Ooh, all I need now is a super malt to wash it all down, or a star beer. Has anyone got a star beer? Doesn't matter, I've got a star sat right next to me. Another Chris, so I spoke to a young Chris earlier on. I've got another young black star sat next to me. His name is Chris, A4 Africa.
Yeah, A4 Africa. I like the build up, the meaningful bit special, but yeah, A4 Africa.
Chris, you are very special.
I'm okay.
You're making an absolutely fantastic contribution to Ghana, also to the UK. In fact, globally, you're making a contribution, but you are really flying the flag for the Ghanaians, the young Ghanaians.
Yeah, I'm trying. I think Kwame Nkrumah said something very motivational that's always stuck with me. Well, he said two things. He said, first of all, we don't face east or west, we face forward. And I feel like as a Ghanaian, like sometimes we look at what our competitors are doing to the left or the right in terms of Nigeria, but As a country, we need to just face forward and just do what's best for our country rather than focusing on other countries. And he also says that I'm not African because I was born in Africa. I'm African because Africa was born within me. And like a lot of us, because we're not necessarily born in Africa, so to speak, when we go back to Africa, there's a bit of a slight disconnect because are you really Ghanaian? And do you know what I mean? You're a British Ghanaian. But when you go back and you're actually giving back to the economy, there's a huge sort of energy that you know, or let's say a love that happens, because not a lot of drappers are actually going back to Ghana and working with the local community. So it's an amazing experience that I'm doing.
So explain, what is it that you do? What is A4 Africa all about?
Okay, so basically what I do is I supply A4 paper. So I've got my own brand. So if you in the UK, you've got brands like Five Star Office, Viking, and you've got various brands in Africa. So you've got like AA, but I've got like a Pan-African brand. So all my stationery is like, it's a Pan-African. So you may see some Kente print notebooks, Kente print pencils, but we mainly sell paper.
You smiling. Are people still using paper? I thought we were of the technology age.
Please, my business. So with stationery, paper's probably the most highly used commodity within stationery. So a lot of things, if you're trying to buy land in Ghana, I'm sure you fill out a lot of paper documents. So in terms of you're registering a business in Ghana, you still use a lot of paper documents. So things are generally moving off paper, but just where we're at right now, people are still using paper on a high scale.
Well, I certainly want to be signing some contracts in Ghana for land, so I'm sure I'm going to be coming to A4 Africa.
Yeah, I've got a box for you, so when you're ready, let me know.
Thank you very much, Chris. Chris, what does it mean to you to be a British Ghanaian?
I think like one thing about Ghanaian people, when you speak to anyone, they're like, oh, Ghanaian people, they're so peaceful, they're so happy. And I think it's just amazing to be like, certain as I'd be a part of that, because I'm not always the happiest person. But, you know, when people say you're Ghanaian, there's all somatic sort of love for you. They're like, oh, you're not like those people from this country, not going to name any particular countries. But, you know, oh, your people, I used to do this. So I think like it's important that like you can represent Ghana in a great way, even if we're based in Ghana or not in Ghana, and you know, just help the country go forward.
And how do you see yourself being involved in Ghana in years to come?
Not looking to get into politics, because that's not my field, but I would just like to help the economy as much as I can. So either building more businesses, helping other entrepreneurs, discovering other opportunities in Africa, because everyone knows there's opportunities in Africa, and I don't believe enough of us are actually exploiting opportunities. Like, you know, you've got people from Germany, I even met an investment firm recently, and they're exporting ginger out of Ghana, which I didn't even know you could do. Do you know what I mean? So there's so many natural resources that even me, I can access myself. You can probably access yourself, and it's about just tapping into those resources and just selling those local resources, which other big countries are doing.
How would you encourage those who were born in Britain but to Ghanaian parents, how would you encourage them to get reconnected with Ghana?
First thing is, I'll say go to Ghana, but not with your parents. Because when you go to Ghana with your parents, that's a different Ghana from the Ghana you go to with yourself, by yourself. So go to Ghana by yourself. Just say to them, what cousin can I stay with who's not in a village, is in a city, and knows Ghana well, so that way you can have a better experience. Because when I went with my mum, I will never have seen any kind of business opportunities myself. I want to say, oh, let's go see my classmates. Let me go see uncle this one. Let's go see that one. And it's not helping me at all. So I just say, just go by yourself or go with other Ghanaians who know Ghana. And also be careful who you talk to, because when you go to Ghana, everyone say, oh, this business is good. Come do this business. This business is good. But it may be to benefit them, not to benefit yourself. So actually do research before you go. And obviously research in Africa is hard on Google, just to let you know if anyone's trying to do that. But just go for yourself and, you know, just connect with fellow entrepreneurs maybe. And that's it, really, I would say.
Chris, very sound advice. I think I have to say I salute you for A for Africa and encouraging, motivating, inspiring other young Africans to go back home.
I don't know if I inspire, but all I can do is tell my testimony. So if it helps, it helps.
You heard it here. Chris from A for Africa on Colourful Radio, celebrating Ghana at 60 years. There are so many young Ghanaians doing their thing, repping, flying the flag. Hashtag Black Stars. Hashtag Ghana 60. Make sure you get on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Colourful Radio.
At long last, the battle has ended. And thus, Ghana, your beloved country, is free forever.
Celebrating Independence Day, Ghana's 60th Independence Anniversary, in front of a live studio audience sponsored by MoneyGram.
Yeah, next up would be our very lovely young panel. They're going to be telling us much more. Things that we couldn't do, things that they're about to do. They are the new generation, starting from Chris. We've got Anoa. And who is that handsome gentleman?
We've got Raymond in the house from Adinkra Digital.
Wow, Adinkra. What's the meaning of Adinkra?
It's the, you know, the visual symbols. They have like a meaning behind it. So we named our company that just because we do branding, so it kind of communicates.
Okay.
And of course, we've got another Chris in the house.
Chris Cross.
Hello, Chris.
So where do we start from? From Chris or Chris or Anoa?
To be honest, I just want to throw it out there to them. What does it mean? What is the Young Ghana panel?
Sorry?
So hold on a minute. Let me get this straight.
Yeah.
These are young Ghanaians who've just come together forming this panel.
Definitely. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm with you. So do you feel privileged to be on this panel, Raymond?
Yeah, very much so. To be with all these people here. Yeah.
These people, your family, I get it.
Yes, we're all family. We're all Ghanaians, we're all family.
I want to know your earliest memory of Ghana. So I know Chris A for Africa has talked about visiting all the aunties and the uncles and not actually seeing Ghana. Raymond, when was the first time you went to Ghana?
Oh, this was about 15 years ago. Yeah, it was really... You know, when Chris was saying about going with your parents, it's very true. You don't really get to experience it, but... You know, we did have a good time. I have some good memories and some not so good memories. my first haircut went really badly. That's all I can say. But, you know, it was a good experience.
All right, I always measure people's Ghanaianness by the food or their favourite Ghanaian dish. So I just want to ask everyone, what's your favourite Ghanaian dish, starting with you, Chris?
Emutu.
That's why you're strong.
Okay, he came in hard there. What about you, Raymond?
I just had it. Jollof rice and chicken. The plantain on the side. So, okay. Yeah.
And Anoa?
Banko and okra stew with some wele inside, you know.
Wele, yes.
And then Chris?
Is it the same?
What do you call the same?
Banku.
That's the new definition of Banku, the same.
Clark, what's your favorite, Clark?
Actually, I like yam and palava sauce.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, none of you. I don't think you are on my scale of Ghanaianness because I'm a fufu and light soup with ka inside.
But you don't look fufu, you know.
You don't
look it at all.
I'm talking about the cold pounded fufu. Yes, okay. The heavy stuff.
Do you take it in the morning? Because normally we have it as breakfast in Ghana.
No. I'm not that heavyweight. Not that heavyweight. You know, something that Teacher Addo was speaking about earlier, and I think it's very important. It's great that we have so many empowered young Ghanaians. But what about the language? Do any of you speak your mother or your father's tongue?
Yeah, fluently.
You say like that with such pride, Chris.
Yeah, fluently. Funnily enough, like, so it's from my gran, really, because my gran came to Ghana like 24 years ago, and like she still don't speak English. Like, you say yeah, she's like, hello, Etisai, like, it's like, oh, hello, yeah, can we speak to, it's like she still don't speak any English. So we were, I wouldn't say forced, but I had the privilege of, you know, kind of keeping my mother's tongue. And now, you know, you speak to your cousins, and like, you know, when the aunties and uncles are bantering, they say, hey, when you say Christo, I'll catch you. Or to me catch you. And then the cousins are like, look at you, stupid boy. You didn't even just learn tree. So, yeah. So, yeah, I've had the privilege of my mother's tongue. And I enjoy it as well. So, like, yeah, we just, yeah, that's my.
What about you, Raymond?
I'm trying to learn at the moment, yeah. I'm not too great. I'm going to have to be honest.
Okay, so we know that there are 9 government-sponsored languages. So everyone talks about Tree. Anyone speak anything other than Tree?
I speak a little bit of Ga, but like...
Oh, Bomode.
Nah. Well, when I first went to Ghana when I was 6, my auntie's house that I stayed in, they only spoke Ga. But when I was living here, my family, because we're fancy, that was what I kind of picked up, so... Learning Ga was awesome, and then I went back to go and live with the fancy people, and I lost it, kind of. But I speak it a bit, but I understand it more than I speak it.
Okay, well, that's good. We got a bit of a range here.
People say that, but does it make sense that I understand it, but I can't speak it? Sometimes I don't. It makes sense, right?
For me personally, when I went to Ghana one time, I went to a village and they're speaking Iwe, and I was baffled. I was just like, "Yeah, cool."
A point of correction there. It's ever.
Okay, sorry. But anyway, I went to this village and they were speaking a language, and then this guy was speaking to me. I was just looking at him like, "Yes, it's not in my head," and he goes, "You understand what I'm saying?" And I said, I don't. And he said something to me. And I said, oh, you said this. And he goes, oh, you don't actually have to speak the language to understand someone. You can understand them via their expressions. So when people talk, I really look at the expressions like,
yeah
I think I'll go it.
Yeah.
That's nice. And you?
I speak fancy fluently.
Fluently?
Fluently.
Zun, 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 zun. Give me something in fancy, because I've always loved the sound of fancy.
Accident. Oh yeah. In their warriors and in their yaba day, you're a bit na na ya kasa. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I love that. That sounds so sexy. People say Ga sounds like you know, when a British person speaks Ga, it sounds like they're speaking Chinese. Te yo te.
No, I think with language, when you don't understand somebody else's language, you think It's not nice.
I'm not gonna lie. Gas sounds a bit.
Hey, oh, fine, eh? Settle down.
Sexy. It's not sexy. It's like, throw your tail. Okay, I don't want your number.
No, it's the way you say it. You know, no, you the way they say it. Ten or your ten.
Clark, it's still not. That's my language, but it's still not sexy.
That's what I'm saying.
But you know what? The ever is very, very nice in the ear as well. Give us some ever, Clark.
Ever. Yeah, I would like to speak it with somebody who understands. You're supposed to be speaking ever.
Our day.
Hello, Fikana the schooler.
Yeah, see, this is where I'm stuck. This is...
Then, no, you're not stuck. What it is that when I say it, if you really want it, you will say it after me.
Okay.
So, My question was, Wonkoda, what's your name?
Wonkoda.
Wonkoda.
Claire.
What's your number, Claire?
What's your number, Claire?
What's your number, Claire?
What's your number, Claire?
Good.
I okay, like round of applause for me then. Thank you very much, Clark.
What did you just say? What was that?
No,
was
that's that not what your, I number? Want your number. That's all you learn in language. Said. I want your number.
Let's talk about this though. Let's talk about this as a young Ghanaian panel representing for the generation coming up. We're in a time where we've got dual identities. We're British. We're Ghanaian. What does romance look like? What does preserving the Ghanaian traditions look like if you're dating non-Ghanaians, or are you all very focused on championing Ghanaian love?
I come from a very multicultural family. My cousin got married to someone who's Pakistani, and the great thing about them though is they still have like value for culture and stuff. So he still came and did like the knocking, he did the whole engagement stuff. So he liked learning a bit of our culture, and then we also learned a lot about his as well. So yeah, crisscross of I like it both. I love my God.
Trust the lady to speak first on the matter. Fellas, we're talking about love and you guys have gone quiet. The first thing you ask her, can you cook? I'm not talking about pasta, I'm talking about spinach stew.
Do you know what, like, my girlfriend's English, and like but the thing is, it's like she embraces like my culture. She embraces everything about it. So she'll be in the kitchen trying to cooking jollof with my mum and things like that. And she'll come to all the Ghanaian parties. I was on twin everywhere. You know what I mean? So it's like, if I didn't have, say, regardless if she's Ghanaian or English or Nigerian or whatever, like, they still have to embrace my culture. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I don't really kind of see it as, oh yeah, you have to be pro Ghanaian or whatever. I just see it as long as you embrace my culture, then we can kind of flex and, things can happen. So, yeah, that's the way I see it.
Yeah, I think we were trying to break some ice here, so we've done that already. Now we want to know much about you individually. So I'll pass on the mic, and then you do that.
Tell us a bit about yourself.
A bit more. Like everything. You've got more to your talent. Come on. Chris. Don't let us side down.
I'm going to pick on Raymond's because Raymond's been here and we put Raymond under a bit of pressure. But Adinkra Digital, tell us a bit more about that.
Well, when I was in Ghana a few years ago, I was working for an agency, a branding agency, and my business partner also was working there. So when we came back to the UK, we decided that we wanted to start a company. So we did, and our focus for our business is African like corporates. So because we did try with friends and family, but you know how that works out.
Yeah.
So we decided, and also in respect to money as well. Like we thought, okay, we just target African corporates. So I was originally from Manchester, so I came to London, and we got contracts for like Nigerian corporates and. And Ghanaian as well, and just recently we got another one for another like African corporate. So we kind of, the whole intention behind what we were doing was we wanted to like work with like African businesses as well, and then make them look good on a corporate level, not just here but also in Ghana as well, because we work with Ghanaian companies as well. So we kind of have this kind of passion for African business, and we want people to get a good representation of what Africa is and what it looks like. And so we bring that, because we've been raised in this culture, and also we appreciate, the culture from back home. We have that passion, like, it's in us, to bring it out and let people see what, African business can look like, not what, they see, the tainted image that they get, all the time. So.
Wow. I know I will be the next. Chris, you'll be last, don't worry.
Funny enough, Raymond, I have a magazine and it's called Adinkra Magazine. But mine, apart from the African symbols, mine is more also, like Fanti, Adinkra, Rukot, Inti. Like when you have the magazine, it's kind of like a greeting. it's like saying hello to you. And it's promoting like our culture, our heritage, but it's for the readers by the readers. So everyone contributes to it. It's online at the moment, but we do a lot of hard copies because people request for it. I don't think people want hard copy magazines anymore, but yeah. What I want to do is promote, like you said, Africans in a positive light. So I have a section called Forgotten Treasures, which is about our folklore. And I realized that, you know, my little cousins growing up, you ask them about Little Red Riding Hood, Beauty and the Beast, for example, that's been made into a film. Like, everyone remembers. But you speak about Kwekwa Nancy and other stuff, and nobody can really tell you the story from beginning to end. So that's what Forgotten Treasures is, because people are sharing loads of stories. I've got It's a Woman's World, so we promote African women around the globe that are achieving things from as young as age 6 to whatever age. As long as you're doing something that can inspire other people, that's what we do. So, little bits.
I feel like you guys are so inspiring, like, amazing. Like, I'm boring in comparison to you guys. So I work for IBM. So like a technology consultancy company, and I work in their sales team. So I've been at IBM for 2 years now, but prior to that, I didn't go to university. So obviously Ghanaian parents, when I first said I'm not going to university, I was like, what about that, man? Like, you know what I mean? She was going to slap my head and everything, lock me in my room. What about that? You know, crazy. But then I said to her, look, there's a degree apprenticeship where they pay for my qualification and I kind of get the breadth of experience, etc. And when she saw me in the suit and everything, she was like, yeah, that's my boy. You know what I mean? He's getting a bit of money, so that kind of thing. So I suppose part of my role also is kind of waving the flag for apprenticeships, especially in various other, like in our community, in the black minority ethnic community, because yeah, I mean, you can do a lot of apprenticeships. You can do legal apprenticeships now. You can do banking apprenticeships. So there's various other things. So, you know, university isn't the only way. So that's kind of my motto. And I've been involved in a global campaign, well, not global, national campaign promoting apprenticeships called Get and Go Far. It's been like on TV and various other adverts and stuff like that on billboards. And yeah, so it's all about kind of sharing a story and just kind of waving the flag.
It's always weird talking about yourself. So yeah, as these guys who have got a business supplying A4 paper in Ghana, and my name's Chris. That's basically it, really. Nothing really interesting. He's by far more interesting than me. Chris. I went to uni and I didn't get beat, so yeah.
Chris likes to cut corners. What have you got for us?
Fascinating stuff. Well, I'm overwhelmed by the talent that is sat here and very proud to claim it as Ghanaian treasures sat amongst us. But it's definitely very inspiring for the generation coming up. It is also inspiring for the older generation to see that their hard work, their efforts are, you know, are blooming.
Definitely, yeah.
At long last, the battle has ended. And thus, Ghana, your beloved country, is free forever.
Celebrating Independence Day, Ghana's 60th Independence Anniversary in front of a live studio audience and sponsored by MoneyGram.
I can't believe it's nearly time to wrap up. We've had an exceptional time celebrating Ghana at 60 years independent. 60 years independent. Such great times for us. Great past, great future, great things about to happen. Teacher Addo, you have certainly contributed fantastically towards this whole show, giving us a real thorough breakdown of history in a very short space of time. What are your final words, thoughts, words of wisdom on Ghana at 60?
I'm very glad that I've been part of your program, because I was all the time waiting for an opportunity to share with you what I think we've gone through. Ghana has traveled a long distance, but during the travels, we've been ups and down and all that. But we shouldn't forget that Rome was not built in a day. There were some generations who came here first. Some of us came just to pass away, and others came to settle down. And those who settled down have actually contributed a lot to this society. And so I'm very glad that young people of Ghanaians who are here, who call themselves Ghanaians, I appreciate and I thank you for doing that. Don't think that you are a Ghanaian, therefore you don't belong to this society. The society has actually given you the opportunity. And so I want you to continue to discipline yourself, be law-abiding, and whatever is good you can do to help this society, do it. Because whatever you do will follow you. If you do good, you've always reap good. And then whatever you've learned from here, go to Ghana, be amenable, calm down. People actually respect you. Don't go and fly like a bird with birds, but calm down and let them know that you have some qualities in you that you can share with the society to grow. I know Ghana has become politically orientated. They are all looking for money. You have come with wisdom. Share your wisdom. Calm down and let them know. Thank you very much, and I hope we shall continue to be what we are now as Ghanaians. Ghana.
Thank you very much, Teacher Addo. What a fantastic conclusion to our show. Thank you for tuning in to Colourful Radio's unique celebration of Independence Day, Ghana at 60. Whether you're Ghanaian or not, whether you're a friend of Ghana, we have enjoyed the celebrations. We hope you've learned something new. Make sure you stay connected to us. Presented to you by MoneyGram in front of a live studio audience. It's been a very special day down here at the Africa Centre. Of course, we've been broadcasting from London. We've reached Manchester, Birmingham, and beyond. Clark, it's been great working with you.
Now I do believe in it. Formerly, when I see MoneyGram bringing us closer, bringing you closer, I thought it was something else. But really and truly, they have really brought us closer. So what we're going to do is that when we're going to thank our sponsors. So when we say MoneyGram, all you do, you clap.
Okay.
When I go Edinkra, you clap. When I go Timber Gardens, you clap. When I go Brago Plantains, you clap.
Okay, let's do it.
Hopefully, everyone, please, let's give it up for MoneyGram. Whee! Edinkra. Timber Gardens. Brago Plantain Crips.
I don't know whether I want to clap for Brago Plantain chips because I've had just too many and now I'm thinking I'm going to have to burn this off in the gym. They were delicious.
Actually, you're going to model for them.
I'm up for that too. Yeah. Clark, it's been a pleasure working with you. Colourful Radio have brought to you a very special live broadcast. You can indeed listen back if you've missed the show and thought, oh no, I tuned in too late. Make sure you stay in touch with us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter at Colourful Radio.
Colourful Radio, we are live on air in Manchester, Birmingham, as well as colourfulradio.com. Keep listening. We are taking over and turn it up.
But for now, my name's Claire Clotty. I'm out of here.
And for now, my name is Clark Pointua. In the morning, I am Clark on your breakfast show.
The battle has ended. And thus, Ghana, your beloved country, is free forever.
Celebrating Independence Day, Ghana's 60th Independence Anniversary, in front of a live studio audience sponsored by MoneyGram.